Matthew chapter 5. The message tonight is Friends of a Different Feather. Matthew 5, it's essential for me to read several passages and then put them all together. So bear with me and enjoy the Word of God. I've heard some people speak, and the only thing good that I could say about them was that they used a lot of scriptures. And so tonight, let me bring several scriptures to your attention. Friends of a different feather. Verse 43, you have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans, the Gentiles, do the same? Ye therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now chapter 11. Verse 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man, and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. And wisdom is justified by her works. Now, 1 Corinthians 5, and while you're there, I will read briefly a passage in Mark 10, concerning the rich young ruler. It said Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, I wrote unto you in my epistle to have no company with fornicators, not at all meaning that the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous and extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But as it is, I wrote unto you, not to keep company, if any man that is named a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. And chapter 9, verse 19. For though I was free from all men, I brought myself under bondage to all, that I might gain the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain Jews. For them that are under the law is under the law, not being myself under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, not being without law to God, but under law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. Now, I want you to see a passage in Esther. Turn to the book of Esther. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Chapter 5. Verse 9. Then went Haman forth that day joyful and glad of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself and went home, and he sent and fetched his friend, and Zeresh his wife. And Haman recounted unto them the glory of his riches, and the multitude of his children, and all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. Tomorrow also I am invited by her together with the king. Yet, all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made 75 feet high, and in the morning speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the king pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Now, one last passage in the book of Proverbs 27. Verse 9. Oil and perfume rejoice the heart, so that the sweetness of a man's friend that cometh of hearty counsel. So here is counsel, hearty counsel, that's like perfume, that is characterized by sweetness. I asked you last Lord's Day how many friends you had, and tonight I ask you this: how many friends of a different feather do you have? There are three sets of friends told us in the Bible. And those friends are saved friends and saved friends. Then we have lost friends and lost friends. And then we have lost friends and saved friends. All three are found in the Bible. And inasmuch as you are of a certain feather, you are like the clean birds. You are of a certain feather, and there are those who are of an unclean feather. And so I ask you the question, how many friends do you have of a different feather? How many unsaved friends do you have? And you are liable to respond, I have no unsaved friends, because I heard you say that the Bible teaches that we are to make no friends with certain kinds of men. And unsaved friends are unknown in the Bible. But that isn't so. When we put all these scriptures together, you'll see that there is just as valid a relationship of lost and saved as saved to saved. And God expects us to have that relationship with the lost. That's why I read to you in Matthew 11 that Jesus was called the friend of publicans and sinners. Now, Jesus, the Holy One, was a friend of publicans and sinners, then here is a friend with someone of a different feather. One who is saved, and yet he is a friend of publicans and sinners. If you think, you're liable to say this, but I remember that in James 4 it says, if any man is a friend of the world, he is an enemy of God. And it also says in the first epistle of John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so if you ask me how many friends of a different feather I have, I tell you I have none. Then, having been saved, if you have abandoned all of your unsaved friends of the past, then you're failing to be in harmony with the teaching of the Word of God. That's why I read you in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're bringing these passages together now. Paul said, to the Jews, I became a Jew. To those that are under the law, as under the law. To those that are without law, as without law. To the weak, I became weak. I am become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. Now, what happens is this. If, having genuinely trusted Christ as Savior, you have gotten in your mind that you are to be separate from all of those that you knew in the past, then you have a misconception the same way that the Corinthians had in chapter 5. We read that together. Paul said, I wrote unto you in my epistle not to keep company with fornicators. Well, all these people that I know, why, these unsaved people are fornicators and thieves and covetous. The Apostle Paul said, when I said not to keep company with fornicators, I did not mean the fornicators and covetous and thieves of this world, or else you must needs go out of the world. But as it is, I wrote unto you, if any man that is called a brother be one of these, you are not to keep company with him. And what is Paul telling you? That you are to keep company with all the lost that are fornicators, that are thieves, that are covetous, all of those that are characterized by sin, you are to keep company with them, and you're to be their friend. Let me ask you this. Was Jesus a friend of publicans and sinners? You say, yes. Are you to be a friend of publicans and sinners? And the answer is, yes. The solution is this. Now listen carefully. We have it in two verses. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice, be not conformed to this world. Now let me bring to your attention another verse. For God so loved the world. It says, love not the world. Well, what does it mean to love not the world? It does not mean not to love the inhabitants of the world, to have compassion on them, to let your heart go out to them and desire their salvation. But it simply means not to love them and not to love the world in being perfectly conformed to the world. You are to love them the same as the Lord Jesus Christ loved them. And you are to do everything you can with them to have as much fellowship as you can with them, except being conformed to the world, except practicing the sins that they commit. Now I will give you an example. If I had unsaved friends and I trusted Christ as Savior, and before I was saved, we both loved classical music, and this friend said, I want you to go and hear the Philadelphia Orchestra play this beautiful symphony by Mozart, I would say, yes, I can go with you. If you said, it's Christmas time and I want us to go and listen to Bach's Christmas Cantata, I would say, I can go with you. But if he said, I want you to go and listen to the Rolling Stones with me, I would say, absolutely not. You see the difference? There is no conformity to this world. There is nothing unholy about fellowshipping with him in that degree. But when he would have you to go into areas that conform you to this world, that smack of sin, that can be condemned even by the world, you are not to have anything more to do with that man. But you are not to abandon him, because if you do, you become like the Pharisee. And the Pharisee was one who alienated all of those whom God sent him to save. God wanted Abraham, one nation, through that nation, to reach other nations. And this is what it says concerning the Pharisee. It says, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Why? Because I have abandoned them, and I am holier than they are, and I have nothing to do with them. The Apostle Paul says, well, that behavior is strange to me. He said, if a man was without law, I became as without law. If he was weak, I became weak. If he were a Jew, I became a Jew. He said, I am become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He became everything he could to a man, short of sin. And this is what the world can appreciate, and this is what will win the world. I promise you this. Get a holier-than-thou attitude, and talk them down and criticize everything they do, and you will never win. But let me ask you this. When did you ever find the Lord Jesus condemning sinners unless they were hypocritical? You'll find that when they were sinners, he told them that they were sinners, but he invited them to come to him. But any time they were religious hypocrites, the Lord Jesus have a scathing rebuke for them. And you and I are to love them in such a way that they will feel attracted to us. And this is the contrast. A Pharisee, it says this, the name of God is blasphemed because of you, but I'm holy. I keep the law. I'm different from all these Gentiles. I'm clean and they are unclean. And it said that attitude caused the name of God to be blasphemed among the Gentiles. And yet they looked at the Apostle Paul after he was saved, and it said, they glorified God in me. Can you imagine that? Do people look at you and the life that you live and glorify God because of you? Do they look at you and say, here is something in the man that is otherworldly? I know all it is about being a part of this world, enjoying the pleasures of this world. But here is one who seems to be not of this world. And that's what the Lord Jesus said about it. He said, Father, they are not of the world as I am not of the world. But he wants us to go and be a good witness to the world. This is what he expects of us. And what is so sad is this, that I have had some friends among the unsaved that I had more pleasant times with than I did with some of those of the children of God. Isn't that a sad thing to say? But it's true. And I would enjoy that fellowship as much as I could in an area that God accepted. There was a couple that lived next door to me, Eddie and Renee Sexton. And I seldom saw him when he didn't have a cigarette in one hand and a bottle of beer in the other. And yet, he wanted to go and play golf. I would go with him, and he never refused to let me witness to him. In fact, this came up one day, and I had to laugh. I was studying, and I had this big book in front of me, and it happened to be an exhaustive concordance. And he said, what is that book? I said, it is a book that contains every word in the Bible, and you can find any reference in the Bible that you want. And so he said, let me see it. And he looked and looked and looked. And I said, well, what were you looking for? He said, well, I was looking for the passage that said the Pope was the head of the church, but I couldn't find it. I said, no, and you're not going to find it. He felt perfectly at ease to talk to me about the things of God. And I was able to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I promise you this. And I said, you are a vile Catholic. You are following the Pope. I'll have nothing to do with you. How much testimony would I have had toward that man? I think that he would have blasphemed and cursed all that evangelical Christians stood for. And I think of others. I've told you about those that I enjoyed having fellowship with, and it was more pleasant being with them than with some Christians. And I remember one that I had known in my unsaved days, and after many years he saw me again, and he said, Milton, how are you? I said, fine. He said, what are you no good? And I said, the Lord Jesus still loves us. And it looked as if he had been smitten in the face, and he said, well, that's very good to hear. He didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. But I had that testimony with the man. Why? Because he was my friend of a feather in the past, but now he was a friend of a different feather, and I was trying to get him to change feathers to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you one more. I worked at a construction company in my younger days, and there was this rough, vile construction worker that used foul language, and I would never practice that language, but every time I could, I would invite him and those that I worked with to come to the meetings, and I finished that job and went into the Lord's work, and ever so many years later, that foul-mouthed construction worker not only was saved, but I found him to be in the Lord's work, and he went around telling about that strange person that he worked with on a construction company, and I witnessed to him. I didn't condone his sins, but I became as much as I could what he was without indulging in his sin. Never used the curse word that he used. Never practiced the sin that he practiced. And yet, I was his friend as much as possible in presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to him. And that is what God wants. He wants us to have friends of a different feather. Why? Because he expects us, friends, Christians with Christians, yes. And I read to you in 1 Corinthians 5, lost with lost, the Savior says, why, sinners do the same for other sinners. And so the Lord Jesus knows that sinners have friends. But the difference is this. When you have sinners that are friends with other sinners, they have their own standards. And they can lie and cheat and steal for one another. But you and I are not permitted to do that as friends with friends. And also, we are not permitted to do that as friends with a lost sinner. But we can still be their friend. But God expects us to be friends with them and not only with the Christians. And our heart's desire is that they might be saved. Now, what I read to you in Proverbs 27 was a passage that interpreted simply is this. It says, when you have oil and perfume, it is fragrant. There is a sweetness to it. And then it says, if you have a friend and he gives you good counsel, that is like the sweet odor of perfume and fragrant things. So think of this. Here I am, and God expects me, as a friend of one feather, to have sweet counsel to give to friends of a different feather. where else are they going to get the sweetest fragrance, that fragrance of salvation from heaven? Now, let me give you the sweet testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sweet counsel that came from our Savior's lips. First of all, to Pilate. Pilate was questioning our Savior, and he said to him, "Are you a king?" And the Lord Jesus said, "Not only am I a king to this end, was I born, and to this end have I come into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" And left him. Sweet counsel rejected. And sweet counsel concerning the rich young ruler was this. He said, "I want to be saved. What do I lack? One thing you lack." And this is this sweet counsel. He said, "Go, sell what you have, give to the poor, come, follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven." Can you think of sweeter counsel than that? You say, no. But when he heard that counsel, the sweet counsel of a friend, it said his countenance fell, and he walked away and rejected that counsel. But thank God for this. The Lord Jesus came to a sycamore tree, and he looked up in it, and Zacchaeus was in that sycamore tree. And he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And it said that Zacchaeus made haste and came down gladly and went home with him. And because he did that, the Savior said, "Today is salvation come to this house." And so some friends give sweet counsel, and that counsel is rejected. But thank God that some friends give sweet counsel, and it is followed. But, and this is what is so sad, and this is why, when I tell you to be a friend to those of a different feather, you must understand that your friendship is based upon your standards and what is right and wrong in your sight, not theirs. Because I told you last week about the counsel, the good counsel, according to the flesh, that was given by Jonadab to Ammon. And Ammon took that lewd counsel and followed it and was successful. But it cost him his life. And this, listen to Jezebel talking to Ahab, who wanted Naboth's vineyard, and he said, "I want it, and there's no way that I can get it." And she said, "Are you the ruler of all Israel, and you can't get Naboth's vineyard?" She said, "It's simple. Leave it to me." And so she gave counsel, and suddenly, Naboth was dead, and his wife said to him, "Now, go take that vineyard that you want." He got what it wanted, but it cost him his life, and it cost Jezebel her life. And so there is counsel, and it is sweet, because the counsel of sinners to sinners, no matter what the object might be, if that object is gain, then it's sweet counsel. But it's like something that's in your mouth that is sweet, but in your belly it becomes bitter and it destroys you. But the counsel that the Lord Jesus gives is always sweet counsel, and if it's followed, it results in happiness and in salvation. And this is what God expects of us, to be able always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in us, yet with meekness and fear. And he wants us to do it, and he wants us to give sweet counsel. And I'm wondering if we are among those who are prepared to do that. Do you seek to give counsel to the lost? Do you seek to have them to look upon you and glorify God in you? Or are you quite satisfied to say, "I'm saved, and I have nothing to do with sinners, Why, I remember this, and I thank God for it. As a very young Christian, I was witnessing, and I went into a tavern giving out tracts, and there were some of these rough-looking characters in there, and suddenly, out of nowhere, a friend came up and stood by my side, and he said, "If anybody touches him, he's answerable to me." And I looked, and he was an old school chum, and his name was Weeby. I remember him. But I had his respect, and he was a friend of a different feather, and even though he had not trusted Christ, he was prepared to defend me and the things that I was telling to his customers, and if I'd had my way, they would have all left the tavern and gone away. And yet, there was that relationship given. And so, let your life be of such a character that your old friends, though they may reject you, you do not reject them. And when they think of you, they think of good things and your love for them and your concern for them and the respect that they have for you. I remember this. It was a strange thing. Mrs. Murray, that used to come to the meeting in Raleigh, and this was 50 years ago, she had a son that ran a tire company, and I'd been saved 25 years, and her son, William, was in the office that day, and I went in, and I was talking, and I remembered. I said, "Why, today is my spiritual birthday, and I've been saved 25 years. And he said, "And you'll be saved 25 more." That's all he said. Now, what do you think that meant? He knew that I was a genuine Christian, and thank God I have been saved 50 years now. And I witnessed to him, and he had my respect, and my relatives, all of those. Once a year, it is their habit of coming up and visiting me in the mountains while I'm preaching, and as a duty, they go out to hear me Sunday morning. And I give them the gospel, and I teach them the truth and tell them that they are lost, and instead of rejecting me, they go around and laugh at friends and they say, "This is my cousin that is the black sheep in the family. He's become a preacher." But they will come out every time and hear me preach, and I've told them that they are lost again and again and again. And thank God for this. When one of their siblings died, the sister died, and she was unsaved, they said, "Milton, we want you to take the funeral." I said, "I always tell the truth when I take a funeral." They said, "Take the funeral." And I went in and I said, "I have no assurance that my cousin had trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior, but I am asked to take the funeral, and I will tell you things that could have been hers if she had trusted Christ as her Savior." And they listened to me, and they were quite prepared to have me to take another child's funeral as well when he died. Now, why is this? Because God expects us to be friends with those of a different feather, because the Apostle Paul was a friend of publicans and sinners, and the Lord Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners, and he expects you to be a friend of publicans and sinners, but not to conform to their ways and to the lustful things they do, but to be their friend, trying to get them to become of your feather, to let them pass from death unto life. So, as God tells us, let us be those that give sweet counsel from the soul. Let us pray. Our Father, we could have wished that when we trusted your Son as our Savior, you would have taken us to heaven, but he himself prayed, "Father, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one." And he wants us to keep us from Satan and from the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. But he wants us to be as friendly as we can with the sinners of the world and try to win them to himself. We remember that you told us concerning him. God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And God so loved the world. So help us to love the world, our Father, not its ways, not those things that are condemned by thee, but to love the world as a lost world for whom your Son died, and let us be those that reach out and give them sweet counsel to trust Jesus as Savior, and then they will have treasure in heaven. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.